Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Fuck.
Yay!
With your hosts, Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
And we
well
have
done.
Booze.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Engineering at work.
We do.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm thirsty.
Was your suggestion that we have something hot? And this drink was suggested by Bryn Berryhill and named by Jenna Young.
Woohoo!
This is the...
Yay, the keep.
Toddy Jump Up.
The Toddy Jump Up.
Yep. And the secret is to nuke alcoholic cider within an inch of its life and then pour it over Fireball whiskey.
Excellent. I'm in.
Yeah.
Let's do this, gentlemen.
It is warm to my hand.
Oh my god, this is everything good with the world.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Yeah, I feel all right about things.
Oh. God, oh. You know that day I was telling you about that I've been having?
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
I just got done snow blowing and shoveling and roof raking and came inside and my pants were basically frozen from the knee down.
Mm-hmm.
And my shoulder really hurt,
mm-hmm.
and all of that is not a problem anymore.
Yeah, this is, I'm gonna, wholly endorse this.
I just realized I should probably tell my roommates that I can't actually shovel, because of my shoulder.
Huh. If only you knew somebody that wanted to be helpful, and is mostly good at tasks that involve moving things.
And also has a shovel, because I don't think any of us do at the keep.
I mean, I feel like shovels are a thing that can be procured.
Yeah.
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 Like, I've never actually brought that up.
Hmm.
I mean, not that I expected anybody else to do anything about it, but
I wonder
in case somebody was like, why isn't Jenna shoveling? That's why, because I can't. That would go poorly for me inside of, like, 2 minutes.
Two things. One, if I can fit a tiny snow thrower to the front of a Power Wheels for you. And the second thing that I'm wondering is...
I don't know that there needs to be a second
one. The way that your face fucking lit up.
I'm good with number one.
Yeah, iRobot, the makers of Roomba, they also make Scuba, which is for tile floors, and I wonder if they make, like, a...
Snowba?
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah.
A robot that automatically shovels your walk?
Yeah.
I
don't know
like
how it
to
would...
subscribe to your newsletters.
Yeah.
I don't know how it would figure it out, though. Like, you'd have to actually... program in the path, I think.
Wait, you would have to program the robot? Tell me more.
God. Do you know, I actually, like, 10 years ago had a book that I picked up that was called Hacking Roomba, and it was all about using, like, Pi and whatever. But I got rid of it about a year before I ended up getting a Roomba.
Sad. So if anybody's got a copy laying around,
you know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I could just fucking check it out from the library since it's about as long as I'm going to...
Smacks of effort.
Fair.
Then I'll just look at it and then never do anything with it anyway.
But it is free, which does impact the effort. I feel like getting shit for free.
I mean, what's the point of having listeners if you can't exploit them every so often?
That's fair.
I feel like we would have to ramp it back to occasional then.
Back, she said, that's fair, into a microphone that was purchased with a Kickstarter by our loving and wonderful and adoring listeners.
Yeah, all right.
as she stares at a gorilla in a trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Which I did actually, like, just before we started recording, I put the gorilla in the trophy, realizing I could do that.
It looks so good.
And I have already sent a picture to the listener that sent me the gorilla, so...
It's wonderful.
Or the orangutan.
Orangutan.
Rubber orangutan.
Want a rubber orangutan for Christmas. Do-do-do-do. Only a rubber orangutan.
It's a large female orangutan.
Uh-huh. Seems
that's
right.
That's what it says.
Aww.
It's just chilling in my trophy for not killing people.
Do you know how you know it's a female?
Because of them boobs?
Because it only gets paid 80 cents for every, you know, dollar that the other rubber orangutans make.
That's...
That,
and the higher up in a management it gets, the more the discrepancy. I know this.
It's close to Homo sapiens.
I get it.
That's what I got.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I'm worn
no
clean
homo?
The fuck out.
What?
Huh. Oh, yeah.
No Homo sapiens.
I mean, like, weirdly, it is the correct usage.
And... It has connotations.
It does. But, huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to refute it, but your usage is correct, and it's really
is this bothering you, James?
A little bit. Yeah. I'm bothered.
Don't see the lies.
No, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
God.
So we're also recording a little late in the evening.
And somebody had to go perform.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did. And I did something that I don't like to do, which is ditching out early, but also just based on the weather and based on, you know, that we need to get this done, that I'm fucking exhausted. It was the right thing.
Yeah.
So,
I understand this.
But I performed in lab.
Yay, lab.
Mm-hmm. And I have Salsa's help to thank. For
thank or
yes.
Or...
With a question mark audibly placed at the end? An interrobang, perhaps?
Tell us, James, how did it come to be that you were going to perform at tonight's show?
I actually talked about this in the set, too. Was that... Because Fearless, the unofficial motto is yet. Is, I don't know how to do this, or I can't something yet. The implication being that you will learn how to do that thing if it is a thing that you want to learn. Or if you feel that is missing from your life, you're not satisfied with it just being missing from your life. You learn that thing.
Everything has a first time.
And I have not been able to juggle for, I want to say, pretty much my entire life. Like 30 years since I was, I want to say, 5 or 6. I learned that I couldn't juggle and that I was terrible at it and... spent a lot of time in the intervening years trying to learn and failing spectacularly and being really fucking frustrated about it. And I told Salsa about this, and he was like, you can't juggle yet, and gave me what I want to report is a shit-eating grin, but a sword-eating grin was probably more accurate.
I feel like the more important part of this story was that we were at at a bar,
yeah,
after a show,
and the host of February's Lab
was there,
was sitting there, and Salsa's like, "Hey, you're putting James down to juggle in February," and then Salsa turns to me and he goes,
and she said, "Okay," and she wrote it down.
Yep, and Salsa's like, "So you can't juggle yet." But now you have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fortunately.
And the person doing the February show, to her credit, was standing there going, it's true. I've already written it down.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing I can do now.
Yeah. It's already done. It's in pen.
I wrote it down.
It's too late. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But the brilliance of this is that accidentally, or perhaps purposely, I don't know, this occurred tonight, which is after the weekend of Mondo Juggle Fest.
Whoa!
I know.
I feel so bad I didn't get out to Mondo. I mean, I feel bad, but I don't, because I know what I was doing with the rest of my time.
That's fair.
And everybody wanted me to do that.
Yeah. I've seen the videos.
They're really boring. I was just working on Die Laughing shit and making a show go.
It's
not exciting.
No. I mean,
but I'm glad we got video. Yeah, okay.
So
how is Mondo?
Yeah.
James!
Mondo
James,
was...
you go first, and then Salsa's going to talk
for
the rest of the podcast.
So I did juggle tonight. On stage, and it was a little, you know, like push me, pull you, knifey, spoony, like a false start, and then I got it. And I just finished writing the stand-up set that bookended it. I want to say yesterday, But I spent most of today, aside from applying for jobs, I spent the rest of the time today getting a parking ticket and for parking in the snow and practicing that set. So it was good.
You got a parking ticket for practicing that set?
I mean, if you'd seen it, you would understand.
Yeah, all right.
I would just like to interrupt for just a second.
Sure.
Yeah.
To say this drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
yeah, it's restoring my faith in humanity.
I want more of this, and we're out of cider, aren't we?
Uh-huh.
God fucking son of a bitch.
Another time, though.
No, this is pretty great. Sorry, you were saying.
This is just happening in my life from now on, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tremendous plan, and I wholly endorse it.
Yes.
Much of my studying and success in juggling I owe to my friends at Mondo, Salsa included. But also my Aikido sensei is also apparently like a long time attendee.
Oh yeah.
Is that the same sensei that I got to hang out with when I jumped in that couple of times? Oh, he's
yeah,
sweet.
Same guy. Yeah. John Super is, I guess he's been going to Mondo, pretty much since it started.
I have known John for
freely.
Yeah, this is weird.
Close to 20 years, and it's because of Mondo.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
So, Salsa's advice, John's advice, and then the advice of our young friend Kip, who is out at Renfest in the Comedia troupe, all had some really sage advice on getting started. And I did. I got the hang of it, and, like... I could
sidebar.
Yeah,
John is the reason we know that juggling is not a good sobriety test.
Oh,
because
okay, this I want to hear.
The story is really simple. I was at a party, a friend's house. She used to do a regular games night, and John was sitting on the floor and he started to juggle five balls.
Mm-hmm.
And just not a problem. And then he stood up and he fell over.
Well, all right.
So,
does this change your perception of sensei at all?
No.
Okay.
No, he seems the type. Yeah. It's good.
This was 15 some years ago.
Yeah, I approve. But yeah, I also got to see.
I drove with John to Madison to go to the Madison Juggling Festival.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So I say hi to him in the theater the night of the show on Saturday, and
Salsa just wet himself.
I'm like, oh,
already.
Hey, Sensei, you're here, and that's awesome. And he's like, yeah, I've been doing this for a really long time. And Salsa turns around and he goes, James, how the fuck do you know him?
And John was like. Oh, you hang out with Salsa. We need to rethink this letting you into the Aikido thing.
I may not feel differently about him, but he may feel differently about me because I do know and hang out with Salsa. So there's that. Also, I told a joke about you tonight during the set.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just said his name, right?
No, that's pretty funny.
You're like Salsa, and everybody
like,
just
because I was discussing the thing, like, how do you know you're a juggler? And some people kind of said something, but like Bryn was saying, like, oh, you're a juggler now because you juggle, and I'm like, I don't think that's how that works. Like, we know Salsa's a juggler because I think his wife is afraid to have a third child. That's.
Oh, God, that's hilarious. That is really good.
Like, that's how we know
really
that Salsa's a juggler. is that. Andrea Ropella actually stepped in with... She was hosting, and she stepped up to the microphone after my set, and she's like, actually... So I got Andrea explained.
Nice.
She was like, actually, a juggler can juggle two things in one hand, and that's still...
I'm particularly amused by this because I remember going through all of this with Matt.
Oh, yeah.
When Matt discovered that he was juggalosexual.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember this, Jenna?
I do.
Or was that before? Okay, I couldn't remember if that was before or after you had joined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's me, late to the party.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's just a different podcast.
Yeah. I'm just,
I'm
amused that I'm going through this all over again.
Aww.
It is good.
Aww. But, yep.
And here's me still proclaiming I can't juggle.
Yep.
You and I saw the show Saturday night.
The Mondo Spectacular? Yeah. Is that the show you're talking about?
That might be the show.
The show that...
So I've been listening to you chat.
The show that was a fucking religious experience?
Yeah. Yeah, so there was that. But I've been listening to you talk this show up for like...
Years.
And I listened to a bunch of the back catalog of AON when I first guested. And so, like, I have effectively, I want to say, like, 6 or 7 years of you talking about how great this show is.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not enough.
Mm-hmm.
This show was fucking mind-blowing.
Yep.
In a way that... I have not seen, I think, anywhere else, including Cirque du Soleil. Like, those shows are fucking amazing.
Well, that's because half the performers in that show are former Cirque performers.
I mean, there's that. But
like, literally.
Yes. Yeah. Which half? The upper half?
Well, the,
the good half.
So we'll go through it, but one of the performers... Kate Great, who is phenomenal, and we will get...
Wow.
She tells this joke where she goes, I used to work for Cirque du Soleil. True story. I was an usher.
Yes. Oh, and God, that's good.
She has... that is the first half of what I think is an even more elaborate joke.
Yep.
That I will not spoil in case somebody gets to see her live. It's just so fucking
okay,
good.
Will you guys start with the beginning and go through just...
Yeah,
so
okay. All right. Okay. All
right. So, the Mondo Spectacular.
Bah, bah, bah.
So, first of all, this, by the way, I just want to start out by saying all of these spectacular shows are spectacular. This year's was particularly amazing.
Hmm.
Like... I've been watching this show for over a decade, and this one was one of the best ones I've seen. So, fuck, you got a really good start. They're all good, don't get me wrong. This one really, really was good.
Yeah.
But it was James and Brynn's first time ever, and I think part of the enjoyment I got was just watching them. Brain matter spatter on the chair behind them, like, 12 times a minute.
As an aside, you, in the juggling and unicycling community, are some callous fucking audience members. Like, you applauded and that kind of stuff, but, like, I'm watching shit happening, and I'm just like, this is... fucking amazing, and everyone... I am probably one of 3 people in the audience that's just, like, audibly enjoying the show. Because everyone else is just like, okay, alright. Now, it's either they're gonna do, like, the Bachman-Turner overdrive behind-the-head toss, or they're going to...
You can only do the Bachman-Turner or behind-the-head toss on a 6-8 beat. You can't do it with a 7-4.
Yeah, so, like... I'm sitting
get it right,
like,
James.
I'm the only Rube in an audience full of technical professionals, you know, who are like assessing the performance. They're like, that's good. It was like telling a joke to a comedian and having one person in the audience that isn't like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fuck.
It is a different audience. But the thing is the performers know that and they play up to that.
Oh, there were jokes too.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the performers, he's like, you know, he tells this joke about, you know, something about making it more difficult, and he's going to juggle 5. And he goes, that joke would be a lot better if half the people in this room couldn't do 7.
Fuck.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But the thing is. Even though 90% of the people in that audience are jugglers, are performers, of that group that are jugglers and performers, probably 60% of those have done it, you know, for performance purposes somewhere, have done it on stage somewhere.
Sure.
You know, a good 30% of them are touring performers that get paid good money to do it. Mm-hmm. The thing is, yes, the audience is full of people who... are in the business.
Uh-huh.
But the people on stage are doing it so fucking well.
There's that. Yeah.
That we're cheering anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, I do comedy. I absolutely do comedy. I get up on stage and I tell jokes and I put on a 50 fucking hour comedy marathon with We Fearless. But I will still go to, you know, a Bo Burnham show and laugh my fucking ass off.
Yeah.
Because he's so good.
Yeah.
And that's what you're getting here at this show is just upper echelon quality.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so, what I appreciated was, like, the aristocrats joke nature of the, like, because the aristocrats joke is the joke that comedians tell other comedians.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Penn had that thing about, Teller had that thing about magic that magicians reserve for other magicians.
Yeah, absolutely.
To astound them.
Mm-hmm.
And this was,
that your average rube won't get.
The juggling that is for
have you seen,
the entertainment
have
of
you
other
seen
jugglers.
The magical side of, did you, have you seen the Magical Mystery Tour?
No. I don't believe so.
Penn and Teller travel to, like, Egypt and
stuff like
that.
I've seen bits and pieces, because the thing, like, that I'm quoting is from their trip to Egypt.
Where the ball and cup routine?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm. If you haven't seen the Magical Mystery Tour, watch it. But anyway, so, the spectacular show. We start off, we meet our host, our MC.
Yes.
And our MC this year was Tom Wall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tom Wall is a performer who has performed with Cirque du Soleil, with Hell's a Poppin' Sideshow. Dude's legit.
Very. You know?
And he gets us started off. He performs later in the show, but he's mostly the MC for most of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we started with Twin Cities Unicycle Club.
Yes.
If you haven't heard me talk about TCUC before, TCUC is one of the best unicycle clubs in the world. And that is not hyperbole. TCUC yes. has more gold and silver, like, medalists in international competition than any other unicycle club. Like, mm-hmm. the caliber of performer at TCUC is so high because that is the culture that they have cultivated there, is there are a lot of really, really good people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when somebody new comes in, the caliber that they're aspiring to is
the best.
Yeah. And so when you practice with the best, you become the best. And so TCUC, their freestyle performance group, consistently year after year medals in mm-hmm. international competition, and they always come to Mondo and perform. And so they did their large group piece, which is, you know, 30 some unicycles on stage all at once doing these weaves and bobs and stupid tricks that defy physics.
Interweaving loops.
Not bumping into each other.
Yeah.
Interweaving loops. Oh, so like they're like
they're
that.
All holding hands in one giant chain, but they're making multiple circles that weave in and out of one another.
Mm-hmm. Like the two people will be holding hands and somebody will duck under that that loop.
And the whole chain,
and the
chain
will go
the dragon eats its own tail.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's this weird it's crazy. You kind of have to see it to know what we mean, but
I think I understand and what the fuck.
Yeah, it's
okay.
But you know, on unicycles.
Yeah.
No, that's the what the fuck part.
And then they do stupid things like drop the seat so they're just unicycling with the wheel.
Yeah.
You know, standing, freestanding, and, mm-hmm. and you know, standing on top of the wheel and jumping around and doing all sorts of fun mm-hmm. stuff. TCUC, really not much more to say about there. They're amazing. I don't even remember the order of half of these. I'm trying to just look through what we got.
I mean, maybe
next was Duck and Cover.
Yeah, there was that.
Next was Duck and Cover. Okay, Life and Steve. My very first Mondo ever. Back in 2002, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I was living in St. Peter, and I was at the Gustavus Adolphus College's juggling club. That's how I discovered juggling, was at this college's juggling club. And some of the people knew Steve. And so a couple times Steve would come down to, you know, to the practices. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I met Steve. And so my very first Mondo ever, like, Steve was the person I knew at Mondo.
Wait, which Steve?
Birmingham.
Okay.
Anyway, Steve and Life have been juggling together for longer than that. They've been juggling together for 25 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Those two have won silver at international competition a few years ago.
One of them wrote a book about juggling called Throwing Up.
Their style is duck and cover. They do their stunts involve a lot of kicking the clubs and hitting the clubs and kicking the clubs off the floor, and that's kind of their style. Is they throw they throw a lot of really stupid things. Even other jugglers look at their style and kind of go, I'm not going to touch that. Because, like, Life will gather up three clubs in one hand and two clubs in the other, and then chuck the three at Steve, and then a beat later chuck the two over, and Steve just figures it out somehow.
Yeah. Catches them and juggles them like it's nothing,
Steve is the person I learned that if as long as you get it in his zip code, he'll catch it.
Nice. That is what I saw.
Because there are two in a juggling passing team.
If you say throwing and catching, I swear to God, I will be so disappointed.
No.
Okay.
No. There in any juggling team, there is a feeder and there is a catcher.
In a lot of relationships, it's the same.
Very much so, but it's true. There is the feeder. That's the person who throws the crazy shit. And there is the catcher, whose only job is to somehow grab all of the shit that's coming at him. That's his job. With the dewdrops, it was Jeff. Jeff was the catcher. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and with duck and cover, Steve is the catcher. Because Life, he will, like I said, he'll bundle up all these clubs and do all these crazy stuff, and then he'll, you know, he'll take a club and he'll throw it up in the air and he'll smack it with the other club.
Yeah.
So it's wildly spinning over at Steve, and Steve will just catch it.
I was actually pretty impressed with his accuracy with doing stuff like that, and I assume that it comes with hundreds of hours of practice.
The other thing I learned from Steve is Steve got a high-speed camera.
Yeah.
And he recorded himself juggling from all four sides. And then watched the video in slow motion. So he knew exactly where things were breaking down. He knew exactly what he needed to do, and he knew exactly what it looked like and where he was at, so that he could break it down, you know, he'd watch the video and go, oh, that's what I need to do. I need to throw slightly this way in order to make that catch correct. So, but yeah, duck and cover, stupid stuff. Jesus Christ. I don't even remember who was next, but I'm just going to...
I think it was the German wheel.
I think it was the German wheel. Okay, Carly Schooner, German wheel.
Holy fuck.
This was the piece that...
It got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Okay, I believe you.
She had a piece that was not only technically insane... but emotionally deep.
Yes. It was beautiful.
It was so beautiful.
It was like a burlesque act.
It was it was the like anguish on her face and in her movements. There was this story, and we don't know what it was, but there was this mournfulness and this pain that she was going through in this piece, and it was so amazing.
Yeah.
So incredibly amazing. And the thing that really brought the house down was with the German wheel, you know, one of the big stunts that you do with a German wheel is you do the flat spin. You know, Jenna?
Yep.
Okay. Usually the flat spin is done with foot, hand, you know, basically.
Yeah.
She did the flat spin with her hands behind her back.
How?
At one point.
And it then, was all core muscle.
Yeah. And then at some point, she unhooked one of her feet, and she did the splits across the flat spinning wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And she used just her legs in the splits.
Yep.
Like flexing her torso and her hips to roll that wheel.
Yep.
But then the rocket back up.
Yeah, but the flat spin with because she's got her feet down in the stirrups, and she goes into the spin and she puts her hands behind her back. So she's basically keeping the wheel going with her abs.
This gigantic, incredibly heavy prop.
It was so gorgeous and so amazing. God, and then she got done, and like I said,
the audience exploded.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. And
she looked surprised and relieved.
Yeah.
That she didn't die? That's probably fair.
There were I'm used to the kind of the death defying things that trapeze artists do, mm-hmm. and things like that. And there's that the drop where your stomach hits that peak and you feel it float up as you're riding the roller coaster down. And she would do these things where she's on top of the wheel and she would let her weight carry the wheel around, and she's just like plummeting at the floor on this wheel, and then she would slip through the bars and bend herself into the shape of the wheel so that she would just miss the floor. And she did this in a couple of different directions. Yep. At every fucking time, it was absolutely unbelievable to watch.
With flawless balance.
Yeah, it's fucking... All right, it was
incredible. Yes. So the German wheel, I think, was definitely one of the
highlights. If you ever get a chance to see that performer anywhere,
all right,
fucking do it.
I think the best part, though, was a couple acts later...
Uh-huh.
Was a performer called Laura Ernst, who did the Sear Wheel.
See, I thought this was really good. I thought she was incredibly talented.
No, but the fact that we had in one show,
we had a German wheel and a Sear Wheel. Yeah.
So we could compare and contrast the different styles of the two different props, even though they look quite similar, drastically different approaches.
Dramatically different.
You know? And that was really, really cool to be able to see both of those so close to each other and really highlight the differences between them. And that was really, I really enjoyed that aspect of it.
For me, the major difference was there was never a point with the Sear Wheel where I was like, she's going to fucking die.
But it was still an amazing feat of balance. And,
I'm watching her grab that hoop with her toes and stuff. Yeah. Like, again, astounding.
Mm-hmm.
And she would do this like, and I hate to be like this, but she would do this like super cute like booty pop to get the wheel to like boom, whip around, and it was. Every time I saw that, I was like, she's having so much fun.
Let me see what else we had. Steven Ragatz.
Was that the guy with the bowler hat?
He was the one who ended the first half. He opened with this really fucking cool three prop routine. And a three prop routine is a routine that uses three random seeming items in a juggling routine.
Okay,
so it's not like three clubs, but it's like a cane and a suitcase and a hat, you know.
Which was exactly what he used. Yeah.
Right. And he also had a ball. But the appearance is
that it's just what's close at hand.
Exactly. It's whatever you have available to you. Oh, I happen to have a suitcase and I happen to have a cane. You start manipulating these things around. So he did that, and it was really so smooth and so flawless and really almost magical
sleight of hand.
I
have no doubt that he's practiced a lot of sleight of hand based on the way that things move. Yeah.
But the thing that really got me was after he did this absolutely incredible routine, he started talking about the circus. and, mm-hmm. and he did this monologue about the circus and about how the circus is built on circles. Mm. You know, sure. it's you throw circles in the air. You know, the horses ride around in a circle. You know, the it's a three ring circus. You know, even the word circus comes from the same root as circle, mm-hmm. and so the circle is a very important theme in the circus. And he talks mm-hmm. about how, but the most important circle in circus is family. And kind of goes off on that, and it was just this really touching, like, sentiment and beautiful monologue about that whole world, and the culture therein.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did really stupid stuff with Diablo, and
not before juggling a series of balls using the corners of his suitcase
mm-hmm.
and the edges of his suitcase.
Yep.
Nice.
Not using his hands, just like balancing them up there and then like tossing them back and forth, bouncing them
yep.
using the flat surfaces on the edge of his suitcase.
So,
fuck.
Yeah. Let me see. I don't remember the order of stuff, so I'm just going to go through duck and cover. Yeah. Oh, Exuro. Exuro. I've known Exuro for probably 7 or 8 years now. He's from the area. He's a big, one of the best staff, performers
sure,
I've
sure.
ever met. Really, really fantastic.
That was a visually spectacular performance.
He has, helps me become a better staff spinner. And I fucking found out he's the chairman of the International Juggling Association right now.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking chairman of the board. I was talking to him on that Sunday. I was like, how the fuck did that happen? What the hell, man? He was like, yeah, that kind of surprised me as well a little bit. But yeah, he did this staff routine where he did contact staff with one large staff and two short staff at the same time.
And all of the staves and all of the
yep.
the kit that was at the front of the stage
mm-hmm.
had all been electronically synced so that it was wirelessly working together to make a light
with
bar
the music.
Display that was in time to the music.
Yep. So it was, as he was performing with them, they were changing colors and lights and flashing and stuff like that, which he had coded himself.
Mm-hmm. They said it was something like 75,000
lines of code,
yeah.
And so that was really cool.
Maybe 7,500? Probably 75,000.
Let me see. Oh, Kate Great.
Yes.
I have so much to say about Kate Great. I actually saw Kate Great perform the night before at the Renegade show. And she did this. So for those that don't know, by the way, a Renegade show is in juggling circles. Whenever you have a convention like this, a Mondo or festival, a juggling festival, often there will be a Renegade show that springs up. And the Renegade show is kind of like a Fearless Lab.
Okay.
Almost. All where right. where people just kind of show up, they're not vetted, they kind of do things that they usually don't do on stage because they're half-formed ideas. And,
mm-hmm.
Sure.
And so the Renegade show is kind of a you-never-know-what-you're-going-to-get show. And I love them because it's when the jugglers get to do the really crazy stuff that they're working on. But I watched her perform at the Renegade show as well. But Kate Great gets out there, and she has, I think James said it best, take Angela Fox and Lana Rosario and mash them together.
Sensually.
And that was Kate Great's personality.
Yeah. Like, she was their love child.
Yeah. But she proceeds to get up on top of a... Well, first she pulls out three knives.
Well, first she has a fucking table.
Yep. So she pulls out three knives.
This thing is
4 feet tall. Okay.
Pulls out the knives and... she's gonna right. juggle them. And then she puts a rollabola on the table. And then she puts a rollabola on top of the Rollabola, on top of the table, in a different axis.
Wait, say that again.
So we have a Rollabola on the Y axis, on top of a Rollabola on the X axis, on top of a table.
Is Z axis and X axis.
I'm still trying to picture, but I think I'm getting there. Yeah.
So a Rollabola in the usual orientation, side to side.
It's hard to put all of the different planes together.
The bottom one was going side to side, and the one on top was going front to back.
Okay.
And then she got up on top of that.
Yeah.
Kay. With three knives.
Yeah.
And juggled them.
Yeah.
And she, as she's getting up, she gets assistance from one of the other performers.
Yeah.
And she's like, when I let go of your hand, walk away.
Just walk away.
Just walk away.
Just walk away.
And don't look back.
Don't look back. It's not you. It's me.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And I don't want you to get hurt. Fuck.
So she gets up there, and she does. She gets on top of these fucking rollerballs, and she juggles knives, and it's fucking crazy. And then she disassembles her tower.
Yeah.
And then she takes, and on top of her table, she puts a Lazy Susan, and on top of the Lazy Susan, a block.
Okay.
And on top of that block is a cylinder in the left-right orientation. And on top of that is another block. Probably a 4-inch block.
Well, these were tubes.
Yeah, but it was 4-inch spacer, basically.
Yeah.
And then on top of that is another cylinder in the front-back orientation.
Okay.
And on top of that is another 4-inch spacer. And on top of that is her platform that she stands on. So we've got a Lazy Susan, 4-inch spacer, 4-inch cylinder, 4-inch spacer, 4-inch cylinder, 4-inch spacer, board. She's got X and Y axes all... So she's really fucking high at this point. She's like 13 feet up in the air at this point. She's way the fuck up there. And she gets up there. And then using just her hips, like popping her hips, she rotates the Lazy Susan around 360 degrees. And watching her balancing on these things and getting really, really fucking close to the edge a few times. And then she succeeded, and I turn to James and Brennan, and I go, is that what it's like watching my show? And they're like, yes! Because I was terrified she was going to die!
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, see, I'm not terrified you're going to die. I'm just hoping for it.
Oh, but she was so good, and like as she's so assembling this thing, there's like a tiny child in the front of the auditorium. She's like, all right, I may not be able to do this, and either way, it's going to be spectacular. And the tiny child
this
is like,
little voice
from the front, can do it. I and she just like you. Has to stop a moment. She's like, oh, you're so supportive. Oh, it's not like the other places I've been. It's so weird.
Yep. Oh, yeah. She's like, I'm from Boston. Audiences in Boston are just like, you're going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but yeah, yes. That tiny voice, like, you can do it. I was like, oh, no, I'm crying now. Yeah.
Oh, she also did a handstand on top of the Rollabolas.
That was also a thing that happened.
Yeah. So moving on. Twin Cities Popcorn Club. Twin Cities Popcorn Club did something that I feel has been missing in the Mondo show for the past couple years.
Juggling?
And that was straight up passing patterns.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I love me a good passing pattern routine. Where you've got five or six people on stage and they're all in different configurations, throwing clubs at each other, and somehow it all works. Because they're moving around and juggling and passing, and I love it. Not much more to say about that. They were great. Former Jugheads. Jugheads is a youth juggling program in the Twin Cities.
I actually knew that one.
Just for our listeners' benefit.
No, I was just excited that I got another reference.
Christian Clock? Is that his name? Cloak? K-L-O-C. Christian...
Cloaca.
Cloister. He did Bound Struggling.
Yes. Oh, fuck.
Ah, nice.
The thing is as phenomenal as he was, compared to a lot of the other shit, like, he got lost in the shuffle for me. That's how it's hard to...
There was so much amazing.
Exactly.
The 9.8 on the 10th scale. Just
exactly. When you're surrounded by 11s, the 10 doesn't stand out. And as great as he was, I don't know what to say about his routine other than that it was really, really good. TCUC. Chloe Summers Wall. She was a hula hoopist. And she did a really cool routine. My favorite part of her routine, honestly, was probably the introduction.
Okay.
Because she is the MC's wife.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So
I have no idea what that's like.
Right. But I loved the introduction, and that introduction went. I first met Chloe in 2011. In 2014, we started working together. In 2016, we moved in together. In 2017, we got married. And in 2019, I introduced her at Mondo.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're caught up.
Oh my god.
It was like, I'm sorry, but whoever wrote that introduction.
That's fucking brilliant.
That was genius. I love
it. It was amazing.
It was a fantastic introduction. She was, again, phenomenal. Doing like 7 hula hoops all at the same time and throwing them around and doing weird. Like, I don't know how a body can do that.
Like, all of the different... And what was spectacular was not just that she had, like... I want to say, like, 6 or 7 hula hoops going on her body at the same time, but that they were all going in different directions. Or she had, like, groups of 2.
Yeah, they were all going in one direction, but not at the same time.
No,
like they were offset.
Yeah.
Like, it was a wave.
She would have a pattern of 2 on each arm... all doing like figure eights, and then one on her torso, and then another one on her hips, and everything.
Blew me away is she would take 3 and put them on her waist and start them spinning, and then just like suddenly do a like weird hip thing, and one would drop to her knees, and one would pop up to her chest, and the third one would stay around her waist, and it's like how.
How? That's not how
they
physics
were. They were all together.
Right.
They should all go together. No, able to separate them and move them
Damn.
Around.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Just with like a swizzle of the hips. Yeah.
Phenomenal. And then Tom Wall, like I said,
phenomenal
MC. He also did this like he had this. Like, he balanced this little wooden thing on his chin and put a ball on top of that. And then he put another one on his forehead. And he somehow managed to get the ball balanced on his chin on this block, shifted over...
He passed it between the sticks on his face.
Yeah.
By balancing
like
them.
The ball was balanced on the stick on his chin.
And I believe I yelled the word nonsense.
Yeah, you did.
In the middle of the auditorium.
So he shifted the ball from the one to the other on his face without dropping either of them.
Yeah.
Like, what? And then he did something that my brain kind of for a half second just went, nope, no. Because, I won't call him friend. I will say an acquaintance. Somebody I have met and interacted with before on a professional level. A guy by the name of Keith Nelson. He is a performer out of New York, Bindlestiff Family Circus. He gave me a lot of really good pointers and advice when I was learning to swallow swords. Keith Nelson does this stunt and has actually done it on the Late Show with James Corden.
Okay.
Where he takes a wooden spoon and he puts it in his mouth.
Okay.
And then he takes a wine glass and he balances it on the wooden spoon.
Okay.
So he's got a wooden spoon in his mouth and he's got a wine glass balanced in front of him.
On the handle, not on the spoon.
Yeah, exactly. On the handle, because he's got the wide part in his mouth. Yes.
Okay.
Fucking Tom Wall took that and just went, fuck you, watch this. He takes a knife, a fucking dagger.
I still can't believe
it. And he sticks it in his mouth. Blade up.
I don't know what you don't believe about somebody sticking a dagger in their mouth.
This part.
Follow along.
Okay.
Takes a dagger, sticks it, the handle in his mouth, blade pointing away from him, edge up. So it's not flat. Edge up, and he takes the wine glass, and instead of placing it on the knife edge, he fucking takes it and goes...
Whoop,
and he flips it up in the air and he catches it.
Jesus.
Literally.
Fuck.
On the knife's edge.
And it just stays there.
And it doesn't even wiggle. It just beak, and it's there.
And then, with that in his mouth and balanced on the dagger, he jumps rope.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you?
Right.
And then, unsatisfied with that, he took a sword and placed it.
Gorgeous. I love this part.
Down on the point of the dagger in his mouth.
Point to point. Tip to tip.
And balanced it there and spun it slowly.
Spun the sword.
Tip to tip. Just like it's hanging. It seems like it's hanging by a thread in front of him.
Gorgeous.
And it's just spinning slowly. Wow.
And he did other amazing stuff. And
wow.
And more.
Exactly. So that was, in a nutshell, half-hour nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't even begin to encompass half the amazing that was this show.
I mean, I didn't have anything else exciting happening this week. You guys can just keep blathering. That's fine. I did actually have a thing happen last week,
This show never ceases to amaze and inspire me, and I'm really, really happy that James got to be there to also experience that. So I'm not just the crazy guy talking about seeing the face of God and nobody believes him.
I had a blast with my friends.
I have been to Mondo before. Yeah. I believe you every time.
No, I'm not saying you don't believe me. But
I was there to witness the glory of...
Yeah.
I wasn't saved through the power of Mondo Jesus.
Exactly.
No, I get it. I understand. Also, Mondo Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Also, Mondo Jesus.
Also, I'm going to be in the Spectacular next year. So, Jenna, what were you up to?
Go back for a second. What? Yes?
I'm going to be in the Spectacular next year.
Yeah, all right then.
Blue.
Maybe I'll show up for it.
I mean, feel free.
I don't have to. I've seen your act before.
I already have ideas. I already have ideas.
All right.
Well, that sounds dangerous.
I have a unicycle. Do you need a unicycle?
No, I don't need a unicycle. I have a comedic... concept. I have a concept for my show structure.
All right. Well, if you need a unicycle.
I don't need it. I might need a unicycle.
See? Also, if you can learn how to play a kazoo while having a sword in your mouth, that would be incredible.
I can work on it.
Okay.
He needs like a...
Can I do that?
Kazord.
I don't know if you can.
Do you have a kazoo? Who's got a kazoo?
I do have a kazoo.
Do you have it with you?
Fucking, they're like $5.
Not on me.
No.
Hmm. I have the...
Well, you have to do the one trick.
Sword zoo?
I can't do that.
You have to do the one trick.
What's...
The one that you only did for special events last year.
Oh, yeah, I could probably do that.
That's you got to do that one.
Oh,
if you're like one of two people in the world that does it, you got to do it.
That's true. I should probably do that.
Right.
I have now also done something incredibly stupid at Salsa's behest.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, we were standing by ourselves in the lobby, waiting
Let's
in line.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves some mouse traps.
You were the idiot.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, because he's like, pop, and like does it, and then just tucks it casually back in his pocket. And he's like, oh, did you want to do that? And I was like, well, I mean, now that you've asked, I should. And he's like, you don't have to. And I was like, fuck it, why not? And he's like, all right, okay.
So how's your tongue? That's not the first time I've asked you that this week.
I was like, he asked me, like, how is it? And I was like, well, it's not as bad as when I shaved my tongue. So that also happened.
Are you going to tell the listeners about that?
I had a mouth full of blood because I used a sweater shaver on my tongue.
Yeah.
Look.
So.
I'm an idiot. But even I won't do that.
Yeah, on a scale of one to Salsa, it was extra Salsa.
It was beyond Salsa. From my perspective, my boyfriend, my wonderful cat. No, yeah. Back this up. Uh-huh. My daughter, my dear sweet daughter, decided she wanted to have people over for playing video games.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, this was that night, or did people just end up playing?
This was a different night. Okay. Yeah, but we ended up playing a lot of video games.
I think that Jessa had invited a couple of people over, and then you also ended up being there.
Yeah.
My child and my boyfriend play Super Smash Brothers together sometimes. It's cute. She kicks his ass every fucking time because she's ridiculous at the game.
She's really good.
So she's there, and my boyfriend's there, and he comes over with a sweater shaver. Now he's really excited about this because he has wanted a sweater shaver for months, and I thought about getting him one and then didn't. And he just found one at Walgreens, and he was super excited about this because he finally has a sweater shaver so he can shave all of the little sweater pills off of his sweaters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's designed to
remove little bumps from things.
I don't want to say this is where stereotypes come from, but an Asian getting excited over laundry, like, he made the joke. I didn't.
Okay.
He just kept joking about it. He was like, I'll do your laundry, I'll shave your sweaters. I'm like, Jesus. Sweetie, would you stop it? So he's super excited about this, and he keeps offering to shave people's sweaters. And he does shave people's sweaters.
Giggity?
I mean,
Not that much. I did get to shave my boyfriend's back.
Yeah, there was that.
It was with the sweater shaver.
It was really cute.
On his sweater.
Yeah.
It was really exciting. He's Asian. He doesn't have hair. So, like, it's closest I'm going to get to shaving anything. Right. So he was like, oh, hey, does anybody want to try this? And James just takes the sweater shaver and goes, and puts it on his tongue. And hands it back. And Joe's like, what? Like, my boyfriend is not a smart man either. And he will do things on a dare. But even he was like, what?
Yeah.
What did you just do? I think he was more offended that you did that at his brand new sweater shaver than anything.
I filled my mouth full of blood and his sweater shaver with bits of tongue.
Yep. So... what gets me, like, because I never thought about, like, the intricacies of the sweater shaver or how it worked, but you went to show your tongue, and I was like, oh, God, how much tongue? Because, like, I'm picturing a disc.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm picturing a full, completed, filled-in circle of just bits of not tongue. Mm-hmm. And it was just around the edge. It was just like a ring, not a not like a filled in plate or anything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was a perfect ring on James's tongue.
Yeah.
Yep. That happened.
So then a mousetrap.
Basically what we're saying
your
is
poor tongue. Sweetie.
When I finally put together that sideshow troupe, you're doing that.
I mean, depending on whether you're talking about the sweater shaver or the mousetrap.
The sweater shaver. Nobody else is doing that, James.
I mean, it's gonna take so much money. I'm gonna ask for so much money to do that because that hurts so badly.
But you've done it, and you did it.
And you passed it off like nothing fucking happened. Oh, yeah. And we were all like, no, something just happened.
Yeah, and I think it was you. You were like, show me your tongue. And then, like, blood.
Yep. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No, show me your tongue. Show me your fucking tongue, James. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's there's blood. Yeah.
That's blood. Yep. You.
So when I get this sideshow going,
all right,
you're doing that.
But I need my tongue for stuff.
Yes, for putting a sweater shaver on.
No.
Yep.
Not just.
What else is there?
Salsa, I pity your wife.
I don't. Have you seen what I can do with my hands?
I understand and appreciate your juggling ability. But also,
I'm saying when you can juggle and do magic, your hands
can do things.
I understand.
What just disappeared? Where
exactly?
Uh-huh. I don't.
It just reminds me of the comic of like the woman.
I'm picturing up the woman that gets sawed in half, and you know how they put her in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
That doesn't sound appropriate at all.
No, the guy who's going down on somebody and he's like, what, you've got something in here, and then like starts pulling a series of scarves out, and she's like, this is the last time I fuck a magician.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So anyway.
So that. That is the thing that happened.
Sweater shaver. There was one other thing that happened over the past week.
Yes.
It seems like a thing worth mentioning. I mean, after all of that circus shit, I don't know. But James and I opened a show on Friday.
Fuck yeah, we did.
Yeah, we opened the hell out of that show.
Kapow.
Fearless Five Noir.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
It made me so happy.
That was an exercise in all of the things. So let me explain just a little bit. Fearless Five Noir. The Fearless Five series is an opportunity for people of all various skills and levels and places of experience to be able to collaborate on a show. We get five writers. We select them from submissions, and they can be of various experiences and backgrounds. This year, I think we had two newish writers, three that have done various levels of writing in the past.
Uh-huh.
And then we get five directors of various levels of directing. I don't even know how much directing experience most of the other directors have had. I was involved as the director with probably the most experience. Hopefully,
I would
because
say pretty handily.
I was also the mentor director, which is a director to help the other directors as they need and or want it with learning how to direct. And then we get a bunch of actors and we put on five different shows. So five shows written by five different writers, directed by five different directors, all in one night.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular year, I was not involved last year. I was involved with the first one. So this is the third one that Fearless has done under the concept of developing new talent. Or just developing talent in general. You can always learn something new every time you do it. But we give our writers a prompt.
Mm-hmm.
And this year the prompt was noir, and the writers write based off of that prompt, and away we go. So this particular year there was a lot of adventure. along the way. But boy howdy did we get there, and we got there by opening, which is adventure. A very large portion of it actually was the Minnesota weather.
Ooh, yeah.
That was a stumbling block that, like, we've always had some difficulty with the weather. Usually there's a rehearsal or two that might get called. We ended up calling, like, what, three rehearsals straight out.
Yep.
And, like, the actors just, like, ran lines over a Google Hangout. And then some rehearsals, many rehearsals started late due to snow. We almost canceled, like, there was a possibility of canceling
part of
preview
because
of how bad it was. And we ended up doing it, and salute to all of the actors for doing that.
Yes.
And being there relatively on time, too. Like, well done all around.
Oh.
All of Tech Week was just touch and go as far as, are we even going to be able to do it? You know, are we even going to be able to have tech this night? And that was after having a couple of actors replaced.
Yep.
So we got a new actor and then had difficulties with rehearsals for pretty much the rest of the rehearsal process. It was an adventure, but opening night happened and everything was fucking solid.
Yeah.
Our
actors were absolutely incredible.
Actors were great. Directors got everything put together. The tech was solid. Everything came together and opening night happened and it was glorious. So that was opening weekend. I wasn't there for Saturday. I think James wasn't there. He was watching some kind of circus something or other.
Yeah.
Weird. You ask him about it, maybe he'll tell you. for half an hour.
Jeez.
No, that's real amazing stuff. But yeah, it's super good, and we've got two more weekends left. So you want to go see that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm really happy with mine. I'm super pleased with my opening.
Yes!
It makes me so happy.
Also, I heard that music, and I was immediately just like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, I didn't pick the music. Our technician,
so
Stefan Senpai, picked that. But yeah, it's real solid. I highly recommend going to check it out. Plus, I love doing shows at the Mounds Theater. They have booze. And they have booze based on our theme.
Mm-hmm.
So they have black and white Russians. And they have a mango a go-go. And if you want to know how that in any way, shape, or form ties into noir, you should come see the shows.
Yes.
Every time they hand you a cocktail, does a smoky saxophone sound play from somewhere?
Kind of, actually.
I mean,
actually,
there is that possibility.
Because that would be,
if you time it well,
amazing.
Yeah, if you time it well. Because, I mean, we do have that noir-type music playing fairly consistently in the house. So,
and I 100%.
If a door opens, you might get a little sax.
I feel like any bar that serves that kind of drink, if they don't have just a hidden iPad just somewhere, like, that they hit the button and as they hand you the cocktail, exactly, just smoky sax. There you go. And as they walk away, he took the drink from my hand, wondering where that saxophone sound was coming from. What he didn't know was that I had seen him coming from a long way away.
You don't know it, but you just referenced like three of our shows.
Awesome. I'm not surprised. It's almost like that's a trope.
Yeah, but they
like
won't
that.
Let me smoke in there. No matter how noir the production. So, yeah. Anyway. Congratulations to everybody all around.
Does
it's
anybody ever
solid.
Utter the words, "She walked into my office one
yes.
leg at a time"? Okay.
Not one leg at a time.
She walked into my office.
Okay.
But it is still a very tropey phrase.
Fair enough.
For the rest of it, so.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm glad we're hitting all the points.
Oh yeah. Very and much so. Then some.
Anything else we want to mention about this, other than do we want to do showtimes at the end of the show, or?
Yeah, we'll do a quick recap.
Later. Yeah, I think so.
All right. Anything else you want to hit up on that?
No. Yeah, let's take a break.
Okay.
Okay.
If I can find the button. It's over here somewhere.
Oh, Jesus.
Button.
There
button.
It is. It's over
your
here.
Your poor wife.
The what? Button.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And,
outro?
That first part was pretty long, so let's just do that.
Yeah.
Thing. Let's outro the shit out
let's
of this.
Outro the shit out of this.
You guys, I have had to work from home for like almost all of last week, and then today again. Went into the office yesterday, and I'm actually good with going into the office in general. But there's one part that's just it's better from home.
You have to put on pants when you're in the office.
Okay, so there's two parts. Number one, I have to put on pants. Number two, the coffee there is atrocious. I've been
atrocious
really,
brand coffee.
It is, actually. It says it right on the package. No, when I get to work from home, I get to drink True Stone coffee.
Oh, yes.
And it is probably the best part of working from home, honestly. Like, there's a lot of
the
good
best
parts.
Part of working from home is True Stone in your cup. Pacha.
Yeah, okay. but no, I'm super. I don't want to go back into the office because I won't have True Stone there. I love my True Stone coffee. It's amazing.
I also love your True Stone coffee.
That's a travesty.
Yeah.
So, Jenna.
Yeah.
How could anybody procure this coffee?
Anyone
what?
Can get True Stone coffee.
What a phenomenal thing.
If you go to truestonecoffee.com.
From your home office.
Yeah, you could.
Or your office.
Yeah.
Or even just from your phone.
Yeah.
Wherever you are.
Or your web-connected doodad.
Yes.
Web-connected doodad.
So anyway, go to truestonecoffee.com and purchase some True Stone coffee, and you will understand why this is so absolutely incredible to me. But you might be thinking to yourself, I don't have a lot of money to spend. Like,
no matter
I could
how
spend,
reasonable those prices
I
are.
I could spend maybe 10% less.
You know, it's
on my
amazing.
Coffee.
I was thinking
I
that exact thing.
I figured you had been thinking that.
That's weird.
You can, however, get 10% off of your purchase.
What?
Of True Stone Coffee. It's true.
But
all
you
need to do is when you go in there, you order your coffee, and at the checkout, there will be a little place for a promo code.
And I need to jump through a lot of hoops and stuff.
No, it's actually pretty straightforward.
Wow. It's really just the one hoop.
Oh.
Yeah, but promo code, you want to enter one, and that promo code is...
Apropos.
It's pronounced apropos.
Good, all right.
Yeah, okay. So enter apropos into the promo code. Get yourself 10% off your purchase of True Stone Coffee. And you're welcome.
Yeah. I'm wearing one of their t-shirts right now. It's
you
so
really are.
Mm-hmm.
And oh God, they have really comfy t-shirts.
True. Yeah.
They have all sorts of fantastic merchandise. Highly recommend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently drinking the Jazz Blend.
Ooh.
And it is delightful. It's super nutty. I love it.
I'll have to look for that one.
Mm. I like my nutty coffees.
Yeah. I've been enjoying the Golden Blend.
Okay.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Like I've been
nice
enjoying
medium roast.
I've been enjoying everything.
Well, there's that.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's...
Fair.
There's.
You really cannot go wrong.
You can't.
Mm-hmm.
My personal favorite, I have two favorites. I love their Sumatra.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I love the Tanzanian Pear Berry when they have it.
Yeah, you and my wife always fight over the Sumatra.
We do, because it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew this, but Sumatra is real good coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So
it absolutely is.
You can listen. You can drink it while listening to Sinatra.
Or you could drink it while listening to Apropos of Nothing podcasts.
All of these are completely within your purview because you get to make that decision.
Or smoking some sativa.
Because that coffee is delivered right to your door.
What? Wait, what?
Which means
right
you are
door.
In charge. You yeah. are in charge.
Why, in Minnesota, an excuse not to go out into these shitty, shitty roads? The hell you say.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no. Thank you to True Stone, then, for their wonderful
many
coffee.
Thanks. Yes.
Yeah. And speaking of saying thank you to people for things, or things for people?
Probably.
What do we have
shout-outs?
For shout-outs?
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see. There was an intro, and then there was a pickup.
Straight. My shout-out is to Mondo.
Yeah.
Fair.
That Mondo Juggle Fest every year, it is something that I look forward to. It is something that I attend, and I'm always walk away from it inspired and invigorated. And this year is weird because in the past I've worked in St. Paul, and so on Friday after work I've just headed straight over there. But because I work from home now on Friday, and because we had a lot of snow, I didn't get out there at all on Friday.
Oh.
Aww.
And my daughter had a friend spend the night for a sleepover. And so in the morning we went out for pancakes and everything like that. And it was a lot of fun. But it means I didn't get out to Mondo until Saturday at noon or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot later than I usually have in the past. And so it felt a little weird already. Mm-hmm. Like I showed up and I already felt a little discombobulated, and it took me a little bit of time to get into the swing of things. But by the end of it, I was walking away just going, oh, I could do this and I could do this and here's an idea and I want to try this new thing. And just ideas flooding through my head. And I love that about Mondo. So yeah, that's my shout out.
It was wonderful.
Awesome. My shout out is to the wonderful people of Fearless Five and their amazing opening. I'm going to go ahead and give an extra bump to, because it was Tech Week last week, to Stefan for Tech and the actors for Patience.
Yeah. Fuck.
God. So yeah, the actors really have been a very, very solid foundational part of this entire process, and I appreciate the hell out of all of them.
Agreed.
So, except for that one guy. He knows who he is.
Seems right. Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm kidding. All of them are fantastic. So, that's my shout out.
My shout out is to all of the people who helped me accomplish something that I honestly, like, deep down believed I would never do, that I would never be capable of. As simple as juggling seems to be, I'm really incredibly grateful to all of the people who gave me good advice or tried to give me any advice, who stuck with me through my frustration and, you know, just were really good company, even if it was just like being good company through that whole journey. But then double thanks to Andrea Rapella for her hosting tonight and giving me the opportunity to try something super fucking dumb. And, like, wrapping a stand-up set around juggling. So, I really appreciate it. Her hard work and all of the hard work of the people who put their backs to lab, you know, to move heaven and earth to make it happen.
Yeah.
So, that thing.
Yay!
Happened. Yeah.
I know I didn't do anything, but you're welcome.
I mean, I feel like you did.
I feel like I teased the shit out of you.
I mean that also.
All right. Well, you're welcome.
But as a founding member of Fearless, that makes Fearless Lab happens.
Ah, goddamn.
And as someone who put the idea of a monthly, like, ensemble show into our greater subconscious, like, thank you to you. Yeah. All right.
I was being a jerk.
I know.
I made it all real.
Yep. As one does.
Like you do.
Yeah, right. We did that thing and we did the other thing. Do we have any more things that we need to accomplish?
Well, there is another thing that we usually thing at this
Just one thing?
Yeah?
Yep.
I thought there were five things.
We usually smurf the smurf right now, and that smurf... That's is a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Mm-hmm. Today's Fast Five comes to us from Mr. Mud.
Yay, Mud. I like that guy. He's pretty cool. I haven't hung out with him in like a while. I haven't really chatted.
Yeah.
I feel like he's been distracted lately.
It's weird. Maybe by a tiny, cute little baby.
A mud puddle.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The most recent pictures of mud puddle.
All right.
Anyway. So big.
Mud starts us out by saying, evening, y'all.
Ooh,
so I harassed Mav for you, and hopefully he will give you a Fast Five.
Ooh.
He has not.
Yet.
Oh. Ooh.
So if you know Mav...
Oh, shit.
Now is the time to start laying on the strong arm techniques.
I don't know. This coming weekend is trivia, so maybe not.
Oof.
Then a lot of you need to start laying on strong arm.
I will be seeing him in person.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I need anybody who knows Mav to start reminding him.
Hey.
Oh, fuck. Why does it sound so grim? What? Well, be nice to my Mav.
I'm going to send him a message.
Question number one.
Question number one.
Number one.
James.
Oh, fuck.
Or frosting.
What?
Frosting or icing? It's frosting, huh?
I feel frosting.
I'm going to have to say James then, because a lot of frosting is made with butter and or cream cheese or whatever. So, by default...
All right.
See, the thing
James gives me less gas in general.
Yeah, the thing is, I can't stand frosting, but I don't want to give James the benefit of that. Oh,
right.
God damn, all right, James.
I'm going to choose frosting because frosting makes people happy all over the world.
That's not true.
No, it makes me gassy and makes my tummy all
I mean, it makes some people unhappy.
Two out of three AON hosts
too.
Disagree.
Yes.
You have chosen...
40. 9 out of 10 dentists recommend avoiding the 10th dentist.
And the last dentist wants you to avoid James. So,
I mean.
Question number two. Matt.
Okay, may he rest in peace.
Or pickles.
The fuck? All right.
I think Matt is saltier.
I think Matt may have been in more people at Fest.
Oh my god! I'm gonna say Matt is full of more piss and vinegar.
Honestly, I'm gonna go with pickles. I'm gonna go with pickles on this one.
I'm gonna go with Matt.
I've got a tender soft spot for the man. I'll go with Matt.
Okay. Question number three. Salsa or a cactus? I'm gonna go with a cactus just because fuck that.
I'm more likely to kill a cactus, actually. Because I have done so before, and I've not yet killed a salsa, so... Huh.
I had pretty good luck with cacti.
I find
them adorable.
I only watered it as much as I was told to water it, but I think I still ended up over-watering it.
Oh. Yeah.
I have this, like, so, a previous coworker of mine, TJ... gave me this plant and was like, give it exactly this amount of water and whatever, and put it right here. And I did everything he said, and 2 weeks later I was like, you need to come get this thing.
It's murdered.
And he's like, what did you do to it? I'm like, what you told me to do to it. He's like, no.
You gave it water?
Not the cactus. Instead of a different thing.
Brondo?
God damn it. It's what plants crave.
Anyway, I gave it back. I gave it back to TJ, and a week later, I go into his office, and there it is, all sunshiny. And I'm like, I don't even know. I don't even fucking know. Like, apparently, my life is so incredibly depressing. Plants are like, fuck it.
I love a little cactus.
Yeah. All right, so cactus.
I have worked with a cactus longer than I have worked with you.
All right.
Is that cactus all around then?
I believe so.
All right.
Question number four. Jenna or True Stone Coffee?
Oh, you son of a bitch. Ooh.
I'm sorry, but
who has done more for the arts?
True Stone Coffee's going to win this one.
Which is more motivational?
Who would you rather wake up with?
True Stone.
Because, I mean, you're nice, but... I'm going to go with True Stone.
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh, fuck.
I mean, the only Jenna response I can actually accept to this is which is going to kill you quicker. And that's me.
Which is stronger?
Oh, fuck.
And then it's Jenna. Yeah, I'll go Jenna.
I'm going to say which is more motivational. I still don't know the answer, but...
I would still go with Jenna on that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For me, it's coffee. For everybody else, it might be Jenna.
If it's motivational, I will go with Jenna.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jenna...
Oh, my God.
No. Jenna motivates me to do things. Coffee allows me to do it.
What keeps you going during Die Laughing?
Oh.
True Stone.
Oh. Yeah. I'm going to say, like, the gallon of True Stone coffee that Eric brought.
Yeah.
Eric Thompson.
All right. I'm going to pick Jenna.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like, for me, the answer probably is to the most part.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I the world does revolve around me in my world. Because it's mine.
Yep, it's a relativistic model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Question number five.
Yeah.
Saint Manna.
Okay.
Or Pedantic Eric.
Manna. All day.
Yeah.
Manna.
Like, I love Eric. I do.
Oh, fuck. I'm like, which one can I spend more time with? Which one...
Neither one of them have sent in a Fast Five in a long time, so somebody should remind them as well.
Oh.
Bum, bum, bum.
Which one is the seventh level of hell? Manna the Destroyer.
Yeah, one of them will take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Right. or pedantic Eric.
Yeah.
No, he belongs there.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's Mana fair.
Is that.
Yeah. Okay.
Saint Mana Apollyon, Guardian of the Pit.
I'm gonna say which is more torturous, and I'm gonna say it's Pedantic Eric.
Ooh, yeah.
Hmm.
All right.
I'm gonna go with Saint Mana.
Yep, sticking with Mana.
All right.
Yep.
Question number one with the context: James or Frosting? Okay. Remind us, I said Frosting.
I said Frosting.
I said James.
I said James. Which is sometimes overly sweet, even for its own good.
Yeah, no, that's James.
James, this is not always a bad thing.
All right.
It can be.
For its own good, that's going to have to be good, James.
That's
James.
Yeah, that's probably true. Thank you, bud. I love you, too.
He said sweetly.
Overly sweetly.
Fuck.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Thus proving a point.
Question number two. Matt or Pickles?
Okay.
Which one gives you more relief at Fest? Clearly this is Pickles.
I mean, Matt has told a well-timed joke at just the point that I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
But Pickles have saved me from dehydration way more.
Yep.
So, or pickle juice, which...
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am going to have to say Pickles on this.
Relief-wise, I find that Matt gets me into more trouble than relief.
So,
I'm going to say Pickles.
Fair enough.
Yeah, all right. Done.
Question number three.
Sold.
Salsa or a cactus?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think I went with a cactus.
I think I said I was more likely to kill a cactus, oddly enough.
Yeah, cactus all around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one is more... Oh, fuck you, Mud.
I don't even know what it is yet, but I approve wholeheartedly.
I already
like love this. You deeply, Mud, but fuck you.
Which one is colorblind?
Which one?
Oh, salsa, honey.
You guys, the cactus can only see funny. Green. Okay.
Which one is more approachable and cuddly looking? Am I not?
That's a tough choice.
Am I not approachable?
Cactuses have pretty flowers on them sometimes.
I have petted a cactus. I have hugged you. I have never petted you.
Am I unapproachable?
You are slightly unapproachable.
What?
When you do that, I don't want to approach you.
What I will say is that because of your talents and because of the shows that you put on, it can be unapproachable.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
No, even I'm going to the cactus on this one.
Oh, God.
Question number four. Jenna or True Stone Coffee?
Okay.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Which one is hotter?
Which one brings more joy to your life?
Jenna.
Oh.
Pick your words carefully.
Fucking Like, the most joy is True Stone Coffee at Jenna's place.
Yeah. While I'm there or while I'm not there? Okay.
Por qué no los both?
Uh-huh.
But there's, I don't know, like, it's...
I'm going to say this.
Fuck, that's difficult.
Without Jenna...
Yeah.
Die laughing... would not be a thing.
Oh, that's true.
And Die Laughing is one of the things that brings me the most joy in life.
But without True Stone...
Oh.
Also true.
How much of Die Laughing would you get through?
I feel like I may have the correct answer.
Okay.
Because the reason that we are acquainted with the extremely fine folks of True Stone and their wonderful coffee is because of this podcast. And it is Jenna's podcast.
Oh.
Therefore...
I am the bringer
Ergo,
of joy.
Yes.
Yep. All right.
So Jenna is the contains all sets.
I will say, for me, it may actually have to be True Stone because I know what I do to myself.
Oh, fair.
But True Stone has never failed me.
You do not bring yourself joy?
Sometimes I do.
If you were that...
Sometimes I don't.
If you were doing that person spark of joy cleaning thing...
I'd have to throw myself out. It would be awkward. Oh, I'd have to thank myself for my service.
Whoa, that's real fucking sad. Oh, shit.
Overly sweet.
All right. That's fair.
Oh, James.
Now.
You're just frosting all over the place right now.
Ew. Clean that up.
Well, we have a bar rag.
Oh.
Being very cactusy right now, apparently.
Oh, weird.
Question number 5.
Oh, God.
Saint Mena.
All right.
Or Pedantic Eric.
All right.
Mm.
Which formerly regular guest will you eventually bring back?
I think it's been longer since we've had Eric.
Ideally both, but...
Ideally both.
Yeah. That is a porqué no los dos.
Yeah.
That is extremely difficult.
I'm going to say because it's probably been Eric longer.
Yeah.
Probably have to bring him back sooner.
I agree. I'm going to say the first one to give us another fast 5.
Oh.
Although Salsa did just get a gift this evening from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really big. I know you're confused because you're not used to having big things, but...
I was like, what are you talking about? Oh, yes.
And that's why you're still in Ville.
Uh-huh.
No, yeah,
that's why you got invited.
And that's how I got invited.
Somebody posted a thing online, and I said, I have bad ideas for Die Laughing. So now I have a thing that I won't say what it is because Die Laughing.
It's coming.
And but I'm gonna
be too?
Based on that, I'm gonna say Saint Mana.
Yeah.
All right, that's fair.
All right. So there we go.
All right. Good job. And Mud wraps this up with, see people, fast fives are not hard. And when you're typing, it sounds like you are working.
Oh shit.
Yes.
Fuck.
That is perfect.
Motherfucker, you made me snort.
So, heed the words of Mud.
Yes.
And repent, ye sinners.
He is Mud, the great and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, that's all the thing. Anyway, that's our Fast Five. Thank you so very much, though, to Mr. Mud. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, and of course you do,
you
should send in 2 emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should contain nothing but the 5 choices, and the second one should repeat those choices and then include the context. And you can put little, you know, jabs in it like Mud did if you wish to.
Oh, by all means.
The worst ones are where we have to choose between ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that is that. Who has something to plug?
Oh, shit. Hey, you guys. You may have heard of this this thing that just happens every year. It's not a real big deal, but it is, to the best of our knowledge, the most consecutive live hours of variety comedy in the world. Die Laughing. Die Laughing is coming. If you want to produce a show for Die Laughing, too bad. Well, maybe, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
I have sent out offers for all 50 hours of our comedy marathon. They may or may not all be accepted, but in general, they are. So I don't want to get your hopes up. However, there may be some people that are unable to play. So if you're interested in that, we do have the wait list is available at dielaughingmarathon.com. But maybe producing a show isn't your thing. Maybe you just want to volunteer to help make this world's biggest variety comedy show happen.
Mm-hmm.
You're in luck because... Oh. We just posted the volunteer application.
Hot damn.
It takes over 60 acts, and I haven't done the math yet to see how many we have this year, but it's always at least 60.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it was 70.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, I schedule that.
Mm-hmm.
But it does take at least 60 acts to make this guy happen, but it takes... hundreds of volunteer hours behind the scenes to make this guy go. I think it's like either 350 or 400 volunteer hours, something like that. I can't remember the full number. Depending, I don't remember how many volunteer areas we have, honestly, that and how many we double up on or things like that. That part isn't my job, other than to make sure that we do have that happen, like on a high level. but it takes hundreds of hours of volunteers behind the scenes to make this happen. And you might be thinking to yourself, oh, well, I don't really have a lot of theater experience. I don't know what I could do to contribute. I have jobs for you. maybe you just want to sit at our check-in desk and help check people in and make sure that people know what Die Laughing is about and where they can go for various things. We have that volunteer position. Maybe you just want to be the person that runs around and does things for the other volunteers last minute. Like, they're like, hey, can you go talk to this person about this thing, or I need this thing, or can you get me this? We have that volunteer position, too. Maybe you're like, oh, well, you know, I haven't done a lot of tech, but I've got some experience and wouldn't mind getting more. We got that for you.
Yeah.
There's some kind of stagehand thing. I don't know. Whatever. I only say that because Salsa is the coordinator for stage management.
Helped.
Yep, you sure do. but if you're just like, hey, I can bring things on and off of a stage.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, we got that for you, too. So we have, and we've got everything in between. So many different areas that need your help. So, and we always, every year, we run just a little bit short on volunteers. Just things that need people to step in and fill last minute or whatever. If you could go fill out that form now and dedicate some time to the 50-hour comedy marathon, we have to fill hundreds. You don't have to do hundreds.
Right.
In fact, I think by definition, you can only do up to 50 during a 50-hour comedy marathon. But No, if you've got just a couple of hours, maybe 5 or 6 hours, maybe it's just two.
I'm doing it. The cool kids are.
However many hours you can contribute to making this thing go would be greatly appreciated. Just go to dielaughingmarathon.com. Along the menu bar, there is an apply to volunteer. Fill that guy out, and our lovely volunteers coordinator will assist you in getting something to do.
Wonderful.
Die Laughing is coming up end of March. That's boy, howdy. Close. I am so excited for everything I have booked.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I've got...
Some jerks are doing a podcast.
I mean, a lot of jerks are probably doing podcasts.
I feel like I have to book those
Some
guys.
Other jerks are doing another podcast where the first jerks in the first podcast and the jerks in the second podcast all get really drunk and are mean to each other.
Animals.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like my jam.
I mean, that's kind of our thing.
Yeah, kind of. I am super, super excited. I cannot tell you people as of yet, but some of the confirmations coming in, I'm ridiculously excited for.
Yeah.
This will probably be the first place you guys hear the leaks as to who's going to be there, so keep listening to this podcast, too, because I will leak that information. I got no problems with it.
Gross.
Gonna be us. We're gonna be there.
Yeah.
Hot scoops.
Oh my God. Also, I'm gonna be doing an MC shift this year, you guys.
What?
I'm gonna be doing an MC shift. And I'm really excited, and I don't want to say anything about it yet, but I'm so excited for this MC shift. I can't even begin to tell you guys.
Fucking awesome.
So Die Laughing is kind of my big thing.
All right.
Also, Fearless Five. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Cool. You got two more weekends to see it, and the first weekend was a little light because of snow.
Yep.
We understand if you missed it last weekend, go catch it this coming weekend.
Please do.
You will have a good times time. On that?
It is the Mounds Theater. Historic Mounds Theater on Hudson Road in St. Paul. And the times are, I believe, the house opens at 7 on Friday night and Saturday night. And do we have Sunday shows?
No.
Nope.
Didn't think so.
Nope.
Yeah.
Doors open at 7, shows at 7:30.
Yep.
Friday and Saturday, this weekend and next.
A great way to spend an evening. Oh, you know, you could get tickets for your Valentine.
That's...
Oh, thing. That is a holiday, isn't it? All right.
Speaking of things to do with your Valentine... that you can tell other people about. I'm going to be in a show with my comedy partner Kyle on the 14th. The Sextravaganza Pun Slam.
Nice.
For Pundemonium. Kyle and I are, I believe, guests and not competing because...
celebrity guests?
Yeah, we're Fuck. Assholes.
Nice. Where can they find information on this?
If you Google, probably not on a work machine, Sextravaganza Pundemonium, or check Facebook for it, or just check our show notes would be another way to do that. And we will make sure that there is a link there for you, ready, waiting.
If eager. I can find it, that is. If you send it to me, I will put it in the show notes.
Turgid.
Also, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but yeah. The Fearless Comedy Productions Polar Plunge team
what?
Is we going so to be close.
Leaping into a frozen lake on March 2nd. And mm-hmm. if the weather for the past 2 weeks has been any indication, it's going to be fucking cold.
It's going to be brutal.
And you... have the opportunity to make us do it.
Yes, please.
So, if basically what we're saying is, if you give us money, we can't weasel out of it.
Correct.
And we are doing fantastic. We are at $503, and our goal is $525. Mm-hmm. So we are really, really fucking close. We have looks like. Three people have hit their goal already. A couple people are really close. Mm-hmm. James, bringing up the rear, man.
Yep,
I heard that about him.
I am halfway to my goal.
Yep.
Oh.
James
we're
is
halfway there.
Whoa. Oh.
James is trying
pigeon
to get
on a chair. Huh.
James is trying to get $75. He's at 39.
Yep.
So you should give money to him.
Yes,
I
please.
Have decided every year that I've done this, I've gone for $75. This year I decided to go crazy and I went for $150. I'm at $105 right now, so I have a ways to go as well.
So I can make the both of you go jump in a lake.
It's true.
Yes.
Yeah, frozen lake.
So please, please, again, this will be in my show notes as it has been the past couple weeks, but please give that tax deductible donation to the Special Olympics of Minnesota. That donation does not go to Fearless. That doesn't go to AON. That doesn't go to us in
we
any
don't
way,
touch
shape,
it
or form.
At all. Mm-hmm.
All of that money goes to something that is actually worthwhile. I know it's weird.
Yeah.
But legitimately, that money goes to a good cause, and we.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
Please, please do the right thing and give some money to that while also having the side benefit of making us do stupid things. Anything else?
Sibilance.
Have a happy Valentine's Day.
That's coming up.
Loving shit.
All right. If that is all, then I will say on behalf of myself and all of the AON people sitting around this bar, thank you so very much for listening, and eat the fucking Valentine's Day cupcakes.
I love you. Bye, bye, bye.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal jazz fingers.
Verbal jazz fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.